supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's right.
Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them because now they think they're better than you or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. No, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I share 5 secrets of success in both the spiritual and the secular realm. I think it's so important for the people of God to understand that God moves and he operates according to his word. If we really want to get God's attention, if we really want God to step up and handle our issues, our situations, our petitions and requests, the best way to do it is to use his word. God hears his word and he honors his word. And that's one of the reasons why the enemy does not want the people of God to know God's word, because it is the final authority in the earth realm. Things happen because God is not a man that he should lie. And when we take that truth and do like David and hide it in our hearts to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that word up when he sees fit, to bring us to the occasion of what God will do because of his word, we start learning how to depend on that word. Listen, God isn't moved by tears and by complaints and by feelings and emotions. God is moved by his word. I'm not trying to tell you God don't care about your tears and your crying and your emotions. I'm just telling you, if you want him to do something about it, you need to put him in remembrance of his word. The Bible says that God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so it's important for the people of God to recognize that you've got to be able to stand on your own two spiritual feet to be able to petition the throne of grace with the word of God. When you know the word of God, you know what his will is, because you know his word. You know what his way is, because you know his word. And so you never have to ask God if it's your will when you know his word, because his word is his revealed mind. So God wanted us to know what was on his mind through his word. So therefore, when I look at this situation here in the book of Joshua, and when we begin at verse 1, God has called Joshua the son of Nun and informed him that Moses, God's servant, is dead. And then from verses 2 to verse 4, he goes on to tell Joshua what he wants him to do in, listen, the power of God, because he is continuing the work that Moses left off. Moses didn't get a chance to go into the promised land because God told him to speak to the rock, and the folk upset his last nerve, and he took his rod and smote the rock, and the water came forth. But some folk were there thinking the water came out because he used his rod to smite the rock. But God wanted them to see a miracle in the speaking of the word. And so God forbade him to go into the promised land. And so we pick up with God calling Joshua to take them over the Jordan. Then he tells him, wherever your feet trod. And he goes on to extend the territories. He tells him, I'm going to give all this to you, so that would be divided as an inheritance for the people of God. Listen, God remembering his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to throw this out parenthetically. God may not come when you want him, but know if he made you a promise, he will deliver. And so in verse 5, listen at this. He gives Joshua an assurance and a confidence second to none. He tells him, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Now, my brothers and sisters, Joshua was taking the lead of a mighty group of people, the people of God, and it was a large undertaking, a task that would bring fear upon any man to have to lead this group of people. The most important thing Joshua needed to know was that God was with him. He tells him, I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. Now, my brothers and sisters, what he literally was telling Joshua is, if you obey my word, there's no way you can fail. Now, if that don't give you confidence, I don't know what will. What would you do? What would you attempt if God told you you couldn't fail? I received some years ago some sticky notes with that phrase, if you knew you could not fail, what would you attempt? And I want you to know this is what God is telling Joshua. Then in verses 6 and 7 and 9, he uses the word be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Then in verse 9, he says, have not I commanded you to be strong and courageous? He keeps reinforcing what he has told Joshua. Here's why. Because what God said, he meant. And we've got to get that down, not only in our heads, but in our hearts and in our spirit, that God is no shorter than his word. He's trying to get Joshua to believe this experience that he is having is real. Because God is dealing with him on a level he's not dealt with him before. And so when we look at verse 8, I just want to lift out five keys in verse 8 for you. First, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The first thing I want you to know is God is teaching Joshua how to speak the word. If you're writing notes, write this down, because you need to know these keys. Because the same thing is going to be necessary for you to receive the success that you're looking for, that has escaped you and evaded you for so long. I'm giving you biblical principles that work. Speak the word. Listen, God gave us in Genesis 1 the paradigm for how things are called into existence from nothing, with nothing, but God's own word. He spoke it. The whole first chapter tells you all the things he spoke, and they happened. The Spirit brought it to pass. We now have that same creative ability to speak those things that be not as though they were, because it is all about faith. Trusting God. In other words, when you speak what God says, you don't have to wonder whether it's true. You don't have to wonder whether it's real. You don't have to wonder whether God's going to back it up, because Jesus has already made clear heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle shall ever pass away. Isaiah already said the grass withereth. The flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We got to stop speaking stuff. We got to stop speaking feelings. We got to stop speaking what we see. We got to stop speaking the natural things of what we hear and put our focus on the word of God and speak God's word. Listen to what he says. This book, listen, this is what's important about this. This book is the book known as the Pentateuch. when Joshua comes on the scene, God is giving him the recorded law of Moses that he spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel. This includes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Number, and Deuteronomy. These five books are called the Pentateuch, or the law. The purpose of God telling Joshua to speak from this book is because it is already preordained and pre-authorized. And God, listen, is going to back up his word and not what we say about his word. That's why you got to know the word in order to get God operating in your life. Listen at the second part of this. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So not only was he want us to speak the word, but here's what God knows. In order to speak it fluently, effectively, powerfully, authoritatively, we got to study God's word. Somebody say, study God's word. First key is speak God's word. Second key is study God's word. Because God will reveal some things in the study of his word that he won't reveal in the reading of his word. See, when you begin to know in studying God's word, you begin to understand the true meaning and not just the surface meaning of the word. When you study 2 Timothy 2:15, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, then you will have no shame in speaking authoritatively what God tells you to say. Simple. But the people of God have got to put the time in with God, in his word. You know, a whole lot of us want the anointing. We want to speak and the words flow. But the words can't flow till you grow in the word. And what you've got to know is you have got to spend time with God for God to place his word in your heart. What happens if today the government said, we are banning all Bibles from America? Anyone who's caught reading, studying the word of God will be put in jail or worse. Well, that wouldn't affect many of us because we don't read it no how. But let me tell you how handicapped we would be. Because if we don't speak to God according to his word, if we don't pray to God according to his word, if we don't petition God according to his word, then we don't have God's backing on what we ask him. Let me share a personal testimony with you. When I had my physical challenges, and my sight was gone literally for 2 months. Black as night, couldn't see a thing. The devil began to tell me, your preaching ministry is over. You can't read. You can't study. You can't hear from God. He went to telling me all of these things. And the more he began to tell me, the word of God through the Spirit of God began to rise up in me. And the Spirit reminded me of how much over the 40 years I had deposited in my heart, and that the Spirit of God would use as a ready reference to bring out. And so literally, God used the word that was in me to encourage me,
to let me know the devil does not have the last word, but the Lord. And what I'm going through, this too shall pass. It's only a test. And so before I could freak out and lose my mind and think that my preaching, pastoring ministry was over, I just cried out before the Lord and said, show me what to do. And his word started coming forth and bubbling up like living water. Then the Spirit said, I'm going to make you a better preacher than you've ever been before because of these things that you're going through. Study the word. Because I got news for you. There's a day going to come when you ain't going to have your Bible near you. I've seen us in church service. Lights go out. It's all over for you. You don't know what the word says. I can quote it, but you don't know it. You can't verify it. You can't read it. Except those of you who had iPhones and read it with the light on the phones. But then there is a third key. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in the law. What's the third key? To submit to the word. To submit to the word. You speak the word, you study the word, then you submit to the word. You see, speaking is talking, but submission is walking. See, you reinforce the word when you live the word. See, God is looking for some folk to live the word. You see, this was, again, both spiritually and physically that he was sharing with Joshua because he was dealing with him and his word. That's spiritual. God is a spirit. But then when he told him what he would do for him, that was physical. That was natural. When he talked about no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Do you know how powerful that was to Joshua? He knew everybody that came up before him was bluffing. Because God had already given him concrete confirmation that all the days of his life, no enemy would be able to come and win against him. Confidence in God. So now look again now, because we speak the word, we study the word, we submit to the word. And then look what the fourth key says. For then, and whenever you see a phrase like for then, it means after you've done something else. So you can't do it until you fulfill the first three keys. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Now this word is especially for the Christians who keep waiting on God to do what God told you to do. There's some things I don't have because I ask God for. I just say he knows what I need. He's already said, ask me. It's clear, Matthew 6, he goes on to record all the things that man uses and needs in his natural life. And out of those five things that he names them because man's pursuit is more about those things than of the things of God. He tells us, listen, take no thought for tomorrow. What you're going to eat, that's food. What you're going to put on, that's fashion. Can't make one hair on your head grow, can't count them, can't add one cubit to your statue. That's fitness. He goes on to make clear that we can't worry about tomorrow because that's our future. And then when he gets down to the 33rd verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew's, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you were looking for shall be added unto you. Now, isn't it good when you can seek God and he make the stuff you used to seek after you? See, if you put things in their proper place, in priority, put God first, the rest of the stuff, you're losing time working 2 and 3 jobs and doing this and doing that, chasing this and chasing that. If you put God first, he will cause your blessings to run you down. So that means the fourth key is succeed in the word of God. If I really want to succeed, I've got to do it God's way. If my succeeding is done on a daily basis, it's going to end up with the last part of this verse, which says, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. Anybody who's been in my teaching classes on this verse know that good, all you got to do is drop one O and you'll find out that it's God's success. That's the success both in the earth realm and in eternity. In other words, you've got to know that what God wants for you is for this side and the other side. You are not just made of flesh, but you're spirit. There are some things you've got to make ready for the afterlife. But God's not reserving your best blessings when you can have those that are meant for this earth realm for heaven. When you get to heaven, those things he meant for earth will not be there. They will be spiritual things up there, and the earthly things are down here. That's why God wants me to have the best of what he offers down here, because they're not going to be offered up in heaven. Those are tangible things here. Those are earthly things, temporal things. So for somebody here who thinks God don't want you to have the best, you obviously don't know the word. It hurts my heart to hear some Christians say God won't give you what you want. He'll give you what you need. What Bible are you reading? Maybe that's why you don't have what you want. Because you don't know when your ways please the Lord. He'll make even the haters be at peace with you. Look, ain't no sense in me lying to you today that there are some haters right here in the church who don't want people blessed, who don't want to see people blessed. See the Lord blessing you. Think he's something. No, God thinks I'm something. He gave it to me. You riding around in a hoopty, hoping and praying it'll get you to church. Get out smelling like smoke. I've been there. God knows I have. Ain't nobody said nothing about it. But then soon as God blessed me with a good car, you ain't say nothing when I was going down the road and the car was going sideways. When I first came here, I was living in an apartment and I had to deal with all of the noise and the people on either side of me. There were some noises. Oh, my God, I had to close my ears for some of the stuff that was going on and all, and I endured that and continued to do what God wanted me to do. And when I did that, he blessed me to get a goodly house. Then folk ride by my house talking about, you ain't say nothing when I was in the apartment and going through what I was going through then. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody in the house today. But don't get mad because I did what God told me to do and he